Welcome here on Christmas Eve. Still trying to get a little bit of extra preparation during this last little half day of Advent for myself spiritually. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. We're going to have a special invitatory antiphon for Christmas Eve. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who is not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today you will know the Lord is coming, and in the morning you will see his glory. Redeemer of the nations, come, reveal yourself by virgin birth. Let every age with wonder know that such a birth befits our God. Conceived not from the seed of man, but by the Spirit's wondrous breath, the Word of God is now made flesh, as Mary's womb brings forth its fruit. The Virgin's womb grows great with child, this cluster is forever pure. The banners of her virtues gleam, for in this temple God resides. From bridal chamber let him come, from royal virgin, palace chaste. With twofold nature, God and man, a champion swift to run his course. The Eternal Father's equal come, bind on the trophy of our flesh, and strengthen with your lasting power the weakness of our mortal frame. Your manger now with splendor shines, and night breathes forth new radiant light, which no night may corrupt or dim, so let it shine through constant faith. To you, O Christ, most loving King, and to the Father glory be, one with the Spirit Paraclete, from age to age, forevermore. Amen. Bethlehem in Judah's land, how glorious your future! The King who will rule my people comes from you. Psalm 101, avail, avail of a good ruler. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. My song is of mercy and justice. I sing to you, O Lord. I will walk in the way of perfection. O when, Lord, will you come? I will walk with blameless heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes whatever is base. Bethlehem in Judah's land, how glorious your future! The King who will rule my people comes from you. I will hate the ways of the crooked, they shall not be my friends. The false-hearted must keep far away, the wicked I disown. Bethlehem in Judah's land, how glorious your future! The King who will rule my people comes from you. The man who slanders his neighbor in secret, I will bring to silence. The man of proud looks and haughty heart, I will never endure. I look to the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way of perfection shall be my friend. No man who practices deceit shall live within my house. No man who utters lies shall stand before my eyes. Morning by morning I will silence all the wicked in the land, uprooting from the city of the Lord all who do evil. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So that your people may walk in innocence, you came to us, Lord Jesus, and told us to be holy as your Father is holy. Help us, your children, not to put before our eyes anything base. Let us not be like the people around us, but instead let us pursue the path of perfection, finding friends and communities in our community, of the parish, and everything that can help us to be friends of you, to truly be your friends. Help us be able to seek your counsel in all of our decisions, and be able to put aside our own desire to act immediately, to find your counsel. Make us stand before the face of your Father and celebrate with you in love and joy forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bethlehem in Judah's land, how glorious your future. The King who will rule my people comes from you. Antiphon 2, lift up your heads and see, your redemption is now at hand. And we have the great canticle from Daniel chapter 3, segments of it put together, Azariah's prayer in the furnace. With your whole hearts, turn to God, and he will blot out your sins. Acts 3:19. Blessed are you, and praiseworthy, O God, O Lord, the God of our fathers, and glorious forever is your name. For you are just in all you have done. All your deeds are faultless, all your ways right, and all your judgments proper. For we have sinned and transgressed by departing from you, and we have done every kind of evil. For your name's sake, do not deliver us up forever, or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us, for the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven, or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no holocaust, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit let us be received, as though it were holocausts of rams and bullocks, or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, as we follow you unreservedly, for those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lift up your heads and see, your redemption is now at hand. The day has come at last when Mary will bring forth her firstborn son. Psalm 144:1-10. Prayer for victory and peace. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my arms for battle, who prepares my hands for war. He is my love, my fortress. He is my stronghold, my savior, my shield, my place of refuge. He brings peoples under my rule. Lord, what is man that you care for him? Mortal man that you keep him in mind? Man who is merely a breath, whose life fades like a passing shadow. Lower your heavens and come down. Touch the mountains, wreathe them in smoke. Flash your lightnings, rout the foe. Shoot your arrows and put them to flight. Reach down from heaven and save me. Draw me out from the mighty waters, from the hands of alien foes, whose mouths are filled with lies, whose hands are raised in perjury. To us, O Lord God, will I sing a new song. To you, O God, will I sing a new song. I will play on the 10-stringed harp to you who give kings their victory, who set David, your servant, free. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father Almighty, Father in heaven, your Son Jesus is the scriptural David, the true and perfect David, the King in the line of David. And your apostle directs us that we must put on the breastplate of salvation. We must put on the armor of the Spirit. And we must fight with the Word of God. Let us be able to evangelize others this year by our witness of life and by our study and catechesis on your truths. Arm us with your weapons of light and let us no longer be disarmed by losing your friendship. Let us again walk with you under your guidance and protection unreservedly. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And God wants to give us these great graces. God wants us to walk with Christ in a new way. This is the purpose of liturgical seasons. There are great graces in liturgical seasons. The day has come at last when Mary will bring forth her firstborn son. Let us substitute the longer reading from the office of readings and into our morning prayer, and in place of a homily, we will read the second reading from the office of readings. The Lord proclaims his word to Jacob, his law and decrees to Israel, is the verse. From the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51 and 52, segments combined. The good news is brought to Jerusalem, is the caption. Awake, awake, arise, O Jerusalem, you who drank at the Lord's hand the cup of his wrath, who drained to the dregs the bowl of staggering. She has no one to guide her of all the sons she bore. She has no one to grasp her by the hand of all the sons she reared. Your misfortunes are double. Who is there to console you, to condole with you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. Who is there to comfort you? Your sons lie helpless at every street corner, like antelopes in a net. They are filled with the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. But now hear this, O afflicted one, drunk but not with wine. Thus says the Lord your Maker, your God who defends his people. See, I am taking from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath you shall no longer drink. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, those who ordered you to bow down, that they might walk over you, while you offered your back like the ground, like the street for them to walk on. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your glorious garments, O Jerusalem, holy city. No longer shall the uncircumcised or the unclean dwell, enter you. Shake off the dust, ascend to the throne, Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter Zion. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings glad tidings, announcing peace, bearing good news, announcing salvation, and saying to Zion, your God is king. Your watchmen raise a cry, together they shout for joy. For they see directly before their eyes the Lord restoring Zion. Break out together in song, O ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord comforts his people, he redeems Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will behold the salvation of our God. Responsory prayer. Cleanse yourselves, sons of Israel, says the Lord. For tomorrow your Lord will come down, and he will take away from you all weaknesses. Tomorrow the wickedness of the earth will be destroyed, and the Savior of the world will rule over us. And he will take away from you all your weaknesses. It's a beautiful responsory prayer that speaks into our spiritual hopes, isn't it? Now, for a homily on that, let us read St. Augustine's from a sermon. So this can be like St. Augustine preaching to us today, even today from the book, he can still preach. Truth has arisen from the earth. Justice looked down from heaven. Awake, mankind. For your sake, God has become man. Awake, you who sleep. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake, God became man. You would have to suffer eternal death had he not been born in time. Never would you have been freed from sinful flesh had he not taken on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. You would have suffered everlasting unhappiness had it not been for his mercy. You would never have returned to life had he not shared your death. You would have been lost if he had not hastened to your aid. You would have perished had he not come. Let us then joyfully celebrate the coming of our salvation and redemption. Let us celebrate the festival day on which he who is the great and eternal day came from the great and endless day of eternity into our own short day of time. He has become our justice, our sanctification, our redemption, so that as it is written, let him who glories, glory in the Lord. Truth then has arisen from the earth. Christ, who said, I am the truth, was born of a virgin, and justice looked down from heaven. Because believing in this newborn child, man is justified not by himself, but by God. Truth has arisen from the earth because the Word was made flesh, and justice looked down from heaven because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Truth has arisen from the earth, flesh from Mary, and justice looked down from heaven. For man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Justified by faith, let us be at peace with God, for justice and peace have embraced one another. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, for truth has arisen from the earth, through whom we have access to that grace in which we stand, and our boast is in our hope of God's glory. He does not say of our glory, but of God's glory, for justice has not proceeded from us, but has looked down from heaven. Therefore, he who glories, let him glory not in himself, but in the Lord. For this reason, when our Lord was born of the Virgin, the message of the angelic voices was, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For how could there be peace on earth unless truth has arisen from the earth? That is, unless Christ were born of our flesh. And he is our peace, who made the two into one, that we might be men of goodwill, sweetly linked by the bond of unity. Let us then rejoice in this grace, so that our glorying may bear witness to our good conscience, by which we glory not in ourselves, but in the Lord. That is why Scripture says, he is my glory, the one who lifts up my head. For what greater grace could God have made to dawn on us than to make his only Son become the Son of Man, so that a Son of Man might in his turn become Son of God? Ask if this were merited. Ask for its reason, for its justification, and see whether you can find any other answer but sheer grace. Responsory Prayer. A shoot shall grow from the root of Jesse, and there a flower shall blossom. Justice will be the girdle around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and fortitude. Justice will be the girdle around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. Reasons for the Incarnation. The time has come for Mary to give birth to her firstborn son. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord is for evening prayer, but for morning prayer we would have the Canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The time has come for Mary to give birth to her firstborn son. Intercessions to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who will come again in glory with great power, let us make our humble prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you will come with great power. Look on our loneliness and make us worthy of your gifts. Come, Lord Jesus. You came to be the good news for mankind. May we always proclaim your saving work. Come, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of praise, for you have life and rule all things. Help us to wait in joyful hope for the coming of your glory. Come, Lord Jesus. We long for the grace of your coming. Console us with the gift of your own divine life. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray that God will grant us peace as we prepare for his sacramental coming in sacred time, as we prepare to enter into his incarnation and birth into our world by virtue of the Holy Spirit's grace. That's how we do it. That's how sacred time works. We pray that God, re-experiencing with us the birth of Christ, will bring us all to conversion. And we pray for all of our personal intentions and all the millions of things that we really need. Come, Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Come quickly, we pray, Lord Jesus, and do not delay, that those who trust in your compassion may find solace and relief in your coming. Who live and reign with the Father and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Now stick around and we'll talk a little bit about Christmas and the Catechism. So here we have the Church's many thousands of years, 2,000 years of reflection on God coming in person, or to use John's expression, in the flesh. Now, there's a beautiful part all about the Incarnation in 461 on through about 25 catechism paragraphs. And it begins, taking up St. John's expression, the Word became flesh. The Church calls the Incarnation the fact that the Son of God assumed a human nature in order to accomplish our salvation in it. In him, cited by St. Paul, the Church sings the mystery of the Incarnation. Have this mind among yourselves, which is also yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found human in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So we're already beginning. The Church is teaching us through sacred scripture, and this is the beginning of her own reflection. The letter to the Hebrews refers to the same mystery. Consequently, when Christ came into our world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I have come to do your will, O God. Belief in the true incarnation of the Son of God is the distinctive sign of Christian faith. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Such is the joyous conviction of the Church from her beginning, whenever she sings the mystery of our religion, He was manifested in the flesh. Another quote from scripture. So on Christmas morning, we can review this. The catechism goes on to describe the doctrine, how it was developed throughout church councils, and some very high-level Christological controversies. But let's focus on the section, why did the Word become flesh? A professor in catechist school told me that this was actually his very favorite and part of the entire catechism, the section on why did the Word become flesh. So basically it lists four reasons. To save us by reconciling us with God is number one. So that thus we might know God's love is number two. To be our model of holiness is number three. And to make us partakers of the divine nature, to quote Peter's letter in the Bible, is reason four. So let's just look into that a little bit, and we'll come back to this again at some other point during the Christmas season. I mean, it's not Christmas until nightfall today. The Word became flesh to save us by reconciling us with God our Father. Christ's reconciliation is a human thing. So when Christ took that body upon himself, he shows us what it means to be an obedient son of the Father, even as he undoes the first Adam's disobedience. And his passion and death is actually a kind of exodus event. It's a new exodus, as it's called in the Latin rite. We call the Paschal Mystery. We call the new exodus the Paschal Mystery. It's Jesus's journey of suffering and death to a new life in his resurrection and finally ascension into heaven. The Paschal Mystery is actually God's way of dealing with sin, not by ignoring it, not by saying that it's not really that bad, not by forgetting about it and taking it off of his ledger, but by actually taking it up into the person of Christ, who is not just afflicted because of sin, but actually experiences what it is to be in the middle of sin. And he himself shows us as an icon of the Father who loves us even unto the point of death. And in this act of love, all the sins of the world are taken up into himself, destroyed in the passion of Christ, and in the resurrection, completely atoned for and taken away. The resurrection is the new life of Christ and of all his members. So there's that element of us being in Christ and Christ being in us, being very, very important to understand the doctrine of the atonement. But the Paschal Mystery comes from a Latin word meaning to suffer. The Paschal Mystery actually does obliterate sin, even murder, even terrifying sins are obliterated by Christ's sacrifice. Not as if he's forgetting them, not as if he's choosing to ignore them, but actually dealt with almost as if they had not happened, though they still remain part of our history. So St. Thomas Aquinas taught that Jesus' suffering really had the power to pay off the debt that was owed by man to God because of Jesus' love. It had the power, the sacrifice has the power to make us righteous, in fact, and give us the Holy Spirit, saving us from sin. Again, obliterating sin because of the selfless love with which this person, who is our representative new Adam and also God incarnate, offers himself back to the Father, with us united to him, in him, and also paying back our debt to God. I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your day.